Let's read together Isaiah chapters 26 and 27. In these two chapters, we have the continuation of Isaiah's so-called little apocalypse concerning the end times. Let's begin by reading the first four verses of Isaiah chapter 26. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord is everlasting strength. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. Isaiah chapters 24 through 27 are a subsection of Isaiah that is sometimes called Isaiah's little apocalypse, because it is mostly about the end times. We've seen that Isaiah chapter 24 is about the future tribulation period, and we've seen that Isaiah chapter 25 is about the future millennial kingdom of Christ. Now in chapters 26 and 27, Isaiah continues to foresee various aspects and features of the coming millennium, that future thousand-year period of peace on this earth after the Lord returns and establishes his earthly kingdom. And that brings us now to our doctrinal point for Isaiah chapter 26. The victory song of the remnant will be sung during the millennium. The victory song of the remnant will be sung during the millennium. Now, when we say remnant, we are referring to the saved Jews who come out of the tribulation period and become the restored Israel of the millennial kingdom of Christ. We see in verse 1 that Isaiah chapter 26 is a victory song that this godly remnant will sing during the millennium. Although this is the song of redeemed Israel in the future, it has plenty of spiritual lessons for all believers, even now. Let me ask you, do you want perfect peace in your life? Then remain faithful and trusting the Lord and focus your mind on the things of God. Verse 3. The hymn Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, was based on verse 4 here. In verses 5 through 9, we see that in the long run, through God's dealings with mankind, the proud and wicked will be brought down, and the humble and righteous will triumph. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to the dust. The way of the just is uprightness. O most upright, you weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments. O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. In verses 10 and 11, we learn that the wicked in general do not respond to the patient grace of God. Let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he will deal unjustly. In verses 12 through 19 of this victory song, the godly remnant acknowledges that God patiently endured Israel's unfaithfulness and their giving birth to wind, as it were. Because of God's faithfulness, Israel will eventually enjoy peace and experience new life, and all her enemies will be destroyed, never to rise again. Let's read verses 12 through 14. Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all our works in us. O Lord, our God, masters beside you have had dominion over us. They are dead. They will not live. They are deceased. They will not rise. Therefore, you have punished and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Verse 14 here is not teaching that the souls and spirits of unbelievers are annihilated and destroyed and pass out of existence after a certain time of punishment. No, the point of this verse is that all of Israel's enemies will be eliminated and never trouble Israel anymore. Israel will possess all the land that God originally promised them under the Abrahamic covenant. Verses 15 through 19. Let's read those verses. You have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have expanded all the borders of the land. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth. Your dead shall live. Together with their dead bodies, they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Question: does verse 19 refer to a physical resurrection or the national resurrection of Israel? Answer: it most likely involves both, because restored Israel during the millennium will include the resurrected saints of the Old Testament, as well as the resurrected tribulation saints who were martyred. They will join the godly remnant of restored Israel during the millennial kingdom of Christ. The victory song of the remnant will be sung during the millennium. What about practical application for Isaiah chapter 26? Take heart, for it will all come out in the wash. Take heart, for it will all come out in the wash. Verses 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Right now, it might seem like the wicked are getting away with their sin, including murder. But hold on and hide from obvious danger now, knowing that in the future, the Lord will judge all iniquity, including secret and hidden sin. Take heart, for it will all come out in the wash. Let's continue reading the first verse of Isaiah chapter 27. In that day, the Lord, with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. Let's consider a few background notes for this chapter, Isaiah chapter 27. Here in verse 1, we see once again that distinctive phrase that Isaiah uses so often when he's looking on to the end times, the end time tribulation period and the end time millennial kingdom of Christ. What's the phrase? In that day. Now, who or what is the Leviathan and serpent and reptile or dragon in the sea of verse 1? We believe this is Satan, who operates behind and manipulates and tries to control all of Israel's enemies. In that day of the millennium, Satan and his forces will be bound for 1,000 years. Isaiah uses the phrase "in that day" 4 times in this chapter. Verse 1, verse 2, and then in verses 12 and 13, the last two verses of the chapter. Let's read these verses, verses 12 and 13. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt. And you will be gathered one by one, O children of Israel. So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. You know, already Jews are returning to the land of Israel in increasing numbers. But Israel is still an unbelieving nation. But in that day, verse 12, specifically the tribulation period, the Lord will thresh Israel, that is, sort between the true and the false, throughout the extended land of Israel. Notice that it is a sorting of individuals, one by one. The true will be gathered up to form the godly remnant of Israel. And then in that day, verse 13, specifically looking on to the millennium, believing Jews who were persecuted in foreign lands will come home to the land that was once given to them by God himself. They will constitute the restored nation of Israel and worship the Lord at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, where the millennial temple will be built. The great trumpet here in verse 13 is not the trumpet of the rapture, but rather the trumpet associated with the regathering of elect Israel. This is the return of the Lord to the earth to establish his millennial kingdom. Our doctrinal point for Isaiah chapter 27 is as follows. The new song of the vineyard will be sung during the millennium. The new song of the vineyard will be sung during the millennium. Verses 2 through 11. Let's read verses 2 through 6. In that day, sing to her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, keep it. I water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. Israel shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit. Remember back in Isaiah chapter 5, we had the parable of the vineyard. Israel was the vineyard, but they did not produce good fruit, only wild grapes. But now here in Isaiah chapter 27, we have the new song of the vineyard. This is the song that redeemed Israel will sing during the millennium. And notice here in verses 2 through 6, the Lord himself is singing. He sings of his care and protection for his vineyard, which will blossom and sprout and fill the whole world with fruit. Verse 6. In verses 7 through 9, we see that God had to discipline his people until they would cease from their idolatry. But even in his discipline, he showed restraint compared to his dealings with the other nations. Verses 10 and 11 are probably a reference to the destruction of Jerusalem and all her fortified cities by the Babylonians in 587-586 BC. All of these conditions literally took place about 125 years after Isaiah penned his prophecy, when the Babylonians completely conquered the kingdom of Judah. What a contrast to the new song of the vineyard. The new song of the vineyard will be sung during the millennium. Now, what about practical application for this chapter, Isaiah chapter 27? Make your peace with God. Make your peace with God. In verses 4 and 5 of our chapter, unbelievers and enemies of God are urged to make their peace with God before he steps on them and burns them as briars and thorns that hurt his vineyard. Make your peace with God before it is too late. There is only one way to make your peace with God, and it is not by trying to do good works or even just saying you're sorry for your sins. The one way is through faith in Christ alone, who died for your sins as your substitute on the cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the only way to have peace with God, through Christ alone. So don't delay if you're still not a Christian. Make your peace with God.